Now this evening's lesson is Lads to Leaders lesson, PowerPoint. This is Levi Hudgens. And he created this. Now I want to throw this out there and tell you this PowerPoint, what you're going to see, it's going to be all, this is one of the best. Right, he's 10 years old, so this is the third year he's doing this. And you can see the improvement each year. This is one of the best I've ever seen. 10 years old, so we know we're helping them kids, technology, doing great. But with this program we have up here, it made some changes to it. So you're going to see it's awesome, but I promise you it was a lot more awesome before we plugged it in that system up there. So when you see him, tell him great job. Appreciate all his hard work that he put into this. Just wonderful. Did a wonderful job. And just wish it didn't change a lot of the fonts and the animations and all that. But it's still really, really good. Now, I added one slide in here to his PowerPoint. Because we're going to talk about, of course, soldiers of Christ. Talk about spiritual warfare. Talk about how scheming and, wily and crafty the devil is. And that made me think of this. And this right here, a picture I took when I was in Iraq, because I just was in awe many times of the ingenuity and the craftiness of the enemy. And this is just one of many things. And you just had to, I don't want to say respect the enemy in that sense, but don't be naive to underestimate their craftiness, I guess. And this is just one of the ones that I thought would be perfect illustration here. Right? You see on the right there, those are 80-millimeter rockets. Matter of fact, those are Soviet 80-millimeter rockets that you get on the old Hind Soviet helicopters, the big rocket pods. That's what those are. And so they just get some PVC pipes, some old washing machine timers, and a 9-volt battery. Now, there was actually like 16 of those set up. I just did a close-in. And they would just, 15 minutes or 30, all the way up to an hour or whatever it was, and then they'd leave, right? And they weren't very accurate, but, they didn't always have to be. They'd get lucky sometimes. Just the craftiness of the enemy, it just amazed me. Even broken PVC pipe, still use it. Still had the same effect, right? And so I want you to think about that, a crafty enemy. Satan is absolutely a crafty enemy. Paul spoke about fighting the good fight, waging warfare against that which seeks to destroy us. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, right, to wage the good warfare. And same book, chapter 6, verse 12, he says, fight the good fight. Right, we're at war. And a powerful tool that Satan uses is to get us to think that we are not at war. Right, so that's very dangerous. Now in this lesson we have six main points, and the first one I want you to consider, what type of warfare are we engaged in? In our scripture reading a moment ago, right, if your Bible's like mine, may have that heading there. Mine says the spiritual war. And so Paul here is telling the church of Corinth, right, we're in a battle, we're in warfare, right? And this isn't a war according to the flesh. Then in verse 4, right, our weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God for doing what? Pulling down strongholds. And I think it's the ESV says fortifications or fortresses, right? And casting down arguments. Cast down the high things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? And so this is that spiritual warfare that we are involved in. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, right? He says, beloved brethren, you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And so when you think about the sin that you struggle with, right, maybe you've shouted, you've wept, you've prayed, right? You pray that prayer, Lord, take it away. Right, I hate this sin, right? That's warfare. That's that warfare that we're involved in. Back here in 2 Corinthians, you jump ahead a few chapters, chapter 12, right? Paul begged God three times to remove this thorn in the flesh. Now, a lot of scholars believe that that was physical. Many, I think, have laid out a good argument that it was possibly spiritual. You know, maybe that thorn was, you know, his guilt for persecuting the church. You know, but whatever it was, whatever that thorn was that he's talking about here, God's response was the same. Whatever it was, my grace is sufficient for you. Right? The answer wasn't instant deliverance. Right? It wasn't immediate healing. Right? The answer is just grace. Right, and think about that as a powerful tool that we have in this battle. So I want you to think about this before we go to our second point. So could it be that your struggle is not punishment, but rather an invitation to discover God's grace, right, in this battle? Right, grace that it seems only is revealed in weakness, right, that war beneath the flesh. If you jump back to chapter 10 right here, it's not about the body, it's your physical body. It's about identity and who you are in Christ, right? And yet sin over there, Satan over there whispering that you're not worthy, right? The enemy is sneering at you, telling you you're a failure in this warfare. And, you know, and Satan says, you know, God could never love somebody like you. You keep sinning and falling for that same thing, you know, and then that, and you feel shameful, and that shame then becomes chains, right? That's part of this warfare, right? But God whispers something entirely different, right? He calls you beloved and redeemed, a son and a daughter of his, right? And that's the truth. That's that continuous battle that we're involved in. You know, and Satan, he doesn't let up. Right, Satan works day and night to keep that truth hidden from you, and you know he wants you to think that sin defines you, right? That you can't be a successful soldier of Christ. And so let's be mindful. You know, real quick, thinking about this, you know, think about Joseph real quick, Genesis 39. Right, day after day, Potiphar's wife. Right. And, you know, and he ran, he did what was right, but his reward wasn't the throne, his reward was prison. Right? Why would God allow that? You know, I would say, could it be because the temptation is often the test before the elevation? Right? It's divine preparation, but, you know, before the palace comes a prison. Right before the crown comes the cross. You know, what about like Job? God permitted Satan to attack him, to crush him, to tempt him with despair. And you think, why? Well, because at the end of the fire, you get to the end of Job, right? Job emerged pure, if you will, at least more humble. But he absolutely was now closer to God than he ever was before. You know, so could it be in this battle here that God allows Satan to test your body in order to rescue your soul? Right? That's that battle. Right? That's that constant warfare. And so that's the type of war that we are engaged in every day. And if you don't think you're in the warfare, listen, you've been deceived. If you don't think you're in a battle for your very soul every day, you've been deceived. Right now, we protect ourselves more and more when we use the tools that God has given us, right? And we'll kind of mention some of that as we go here. But number two, let's be aware of who the enemy is. You know, James writes in James 4 and verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. In Matthew 13, beginning of verse 38, we're reminded here, that our enemies, the devil, and those that follow him in this world. And listen again, like Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, our enemy's not flesh and blood. Our enemy's not one another. Our enemy's not other men. Right? It's that serpent of old. And also, I think in this many times we think that, you know, if we do admit there's a spiritual battle going on, we think we're in it alone. Right? That I have to face this dangerous enemy alone. And that's not the truth. Right? That's one of the tools that God gives us as a church. Right? And also Him. Avenue to the Creator through prayer. That's why He gives us worship and the Word of God and all these wonderful tools. You know, confession is a tool. Right? We're bringing what we're struggling with into the light. You know, James 5 and verse 16. The power of confession, right? Confess your sins one another, right? That's a powerful tool against this very dangerous enemy. You're not in this battle alone. Elijah thought he was alone, right? Yet 7,000 others had not bowed the knee to Baal, right? And so he wasn't alone, even though he couldn't see those others. So you're not alone in this. You know, one thing, let me add this, since now I'm thinking about Israel. Before we go on to the third point here, listen, the wilderness is not wasted. Israel wandered for 40 years, not because they were lost. You know, of course, there's consequences from their choices they made, but also they were being tested. Right, we learn about this in places like Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so could your repeated cycle of temptation be your wilderness? Right, this spiritual battle, you know, maybe a season for refining you in preparation for the promised land. Right, we learn so much from the children of Israel. What a powerful thought. You know, when David prayed, you know, make this part of your prayer and that struggle and defeating sin and that spiritual warfare. He prayed in Psalm 119 and verse 37. He says, you know, turn my eyes from worthless things. And how often have you prayed something like that, you know, in this spiritual warfare? Turn my eyes from worthless things. A very powerful thought, right? He wasn't writing about poetry, right? He was engaging in warfare. So number three out of six, what should we fight with? And we all know Jesus and the temptation in Matthew 4. The devil tempted him those three times. And we know those three words that he responded with every time. It is written. That's what we fight with. You know, we have so many tools at our disposal, right? Prayer at our disposal. The armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. The waist, girded with, gird your waist with truth. Breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, right? All of this to stand against the wiles or the craftiness, the deceit of the devil there in verse 11. Right? So we can't be naive. We can't be simpletons. Right? We need to grow up and mature and, you know, come to eat meat and not just milk of the word. You know, we're under siege, we're under attack. The devil is not going to let up. In Romans 12, we see a good example here of how to use that armor that he talks about in Ephesians 6, the full armor of God. And this is just one place I encourage you to consider. In Romans 12, 9 through 21, really, just this battle against the devil, this battle against sin and evil. And he's talking about, right, Paul is clarifying the active side of our faith once you get to chapter 12. And in this, you know, of course, he's talking about how to love your neighbors yourself. And he starts off with this doing something faith, right? If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, right? Don't repay evil for evil. Right? Don't take God off his judgment throne. That's for him. Right? Judgment belongs to him. And there, as the chapter ends, right, he tells us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? So we need to be active in our faith. And what we use in that battle on the offensive is, it is written, right? The word of God. Number four, with whom do I serve in battle? Right, Christ is our captain, Hebrews 2, 9 through 18. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2, right, if we follow Christ, he's going to lead us. And John says in John 12 and verse 26, that we will receive honor from God. And again, let me remind us that we're not fighting alone. Right? We have access to the Creator, right, and His Spirit. And we have access to so many powerful weapons. And when we end this lesson here in just a few minutes, we're going to end up in 1 John 5. And we're going to look at that and be reminded once again what we have access to. But let me read this to you, Galatians 5, verse 16. Satan didn't like this verse. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, not sometimes, not maybe, right? This single verse here carries really the battle plan for our freedom, right? Not through your effort, but through your surrender to the Spirit and what's written in the Word, right? And our enemy, he hates that, because once you walk in the Spirit, then sin loses its grip on you. You know, so, you know, what do you do when temptation comes in this spiritual warfare? Right? You wield the sword of the Spirit. And you pray, you know, Psalm 119, verse 37 again, turn my eyes from worthless things and, you know, confess to trusted brethren, bring it before the church. Right, remember, you're not a failure, but you're an overcomer. And listen, God's not offended by our struggle, I believe. I don't think he's shocked by our failures. You know, disappointed, yes. Hurt many times, absolutely. But he's seen our darkest nights, right? And he stayed, right? And he's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with me yet. And this is just that constant warfare that we're involved in. And Satan wants us to give up, right? He wants us to not use the available tools. He wants us to think we're alone. He doesn't want us to even think we're in a spiritual battle, or if we do, that we're never going to be successful. He just wants us to give up. And so just kind of lay out this strategy here real quick. And then we'll move on to number five, right? Again, one of Satan's greatest lies is that your identity is bound to your weakness, that you'll never be successful in this spiritual battle. But your truest identity is bound in Christ. Right? You're not the sum of your failures, right? You're a reflection of his victory. Right? When he died, he carried even this struggle to the grave, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. When he rose, he shattered that. He shattered sin and death. And listen, every soldier stumbles and bleeds, but the fact that you are still aware of the struggle, that you haven't surrendered, right? Every time you rise, every time you repent, every time you confess, every time you pray, Lord, help me, you know, heaven, I believe, records another victory. This is that battle, and it's never going to end. So what can I expect from this battle? Hardships. Absolutely. It's not an easy fight, right? 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. Hardship, it's not meant to be easy, right? The early Christians struggled in this battle, Hebrews 10, 32 and 33, I believe. Jesus suffered, 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, what makes us think that we won't suffer? That this is going to be easy. You know, some of us become prisoners of war, if you will, imprisoned, tested, tormented, Revelation 2:10. You know, understand this real quick, Colossians chapter 2. You know, we're taken captive. And I've mentioned that word in the original language before. Here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, for example, this word means kidnapped in the original language. At least it carries the idea of being kidnapped, right? And how are we kidnapped? Well, pervasive words, verse 4, philosophy, empty deceit, according to traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ, here in verse 8. And listen, you know, when we think about this battle, we need to understand the danger of being kidnapped, of taken captive by the tools of Satan, right? Not using the tools that God gives us. So next I want you to think in this, you know, can we win? Most certainly, absolutely, we can win. This final point right here, you know, victory is ours, right? That's one of the themes throughout the book of Revelation. If we remain steadfast, remember our theme for last year, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. In Revelation 2:10, I had it on the previous slide, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So through our love and obedience and faith, we can be victorious. So let's read for just a moment here in 1 John chapter 5, and we'll have our conclusion here. Read with me 1 John 5. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who God also loves him, who is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is all possible because if you go back to chapter 2, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous. So by way of conclusion this evening, well, Paul, coming to the end of his life, twilight of his life, he fought the good fight, 2 Timothy 2:4-8, right? He was a fellow soldier, and he had something wonderful to look forward to, just like us, heaven, right? Now, if you're here this evening and you're concerned about that, you're wondering about that, you know, do I have heaven to look forward to? Listen, if you've obeyed the gospel, been cleansed with the blood of Christ, yes, you do, right? You haven't given up. If you've given up, you wouldn't be here if you gave up, right? So that struggle, that battle that we're constantly going through, right? Do not underestimate the blood of Christ. Do not underestimate the grace of God, right? And so the call is for us to keep moving forward, right? To keep maturing in our faith. Some mature quicker than others, but as long as you're moving in the right direction, you know, you have something substantial to look forward to, like Paul. Right? So are you fighting the battle? Have you suffered the hardship? Are you using the armor that God provided? You know, and again, do you even know there's a battle going on for your heart and soul? And let's remember that heaven calls us beloved, redeemed, overcomers. And so the war that we're involved in, it's not the end. I think a lot of people in that struggle, this is it. No, it's your beginning, right? So I would submit to you to not despise the fire, if you will, because that fire is forging you. Do not despise the wilderness. The wilderness is shaping you, right? Don't despise the thorn. That thorn is keeping you near the one who saves. And so we're going to make sure that we tell Levi He did a great job on this PowerPoint. We're going to encourage him and the others when we do their PowerPoints. You know, and the way they develop these completely on their own. We're going to give them a very basic outline, and they work from there, and you can tell they're learning a lot about structure and developing outlines for sermons, and they just do a great job. So let's make sure we encourage them. But this evening, if you're here and you are subject to the gospel invitation, tonight's the night, right? Behold, today is the day of your salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Don't put it off. You might not get another chance. So if you need to be immersed into Christ this evening with a response of faith, we'd love to do that. If you have any other need spiritually, let somebody know. Even if it's just encouragement or you need to confess something for the church, let's do that now. And we can help you be reconciled to God. So if you have any need, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.
My Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him. With him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him. All the way, I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him, with him. The way where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads